Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with George Zornick, a Washington-based reporter for The Nation. He has an article at The Nation, Romney's Seven Biggest Debate Lies, and we will fact-check the howlers from last night's debate that came thick and fast from a cynical candidate operating on the assumption that a lie will go around the world before the truth has time to tie its shoelaces. Then, as billions are starting to pour into last-minute attack ads that will carpet-bomb the swing states, we will look into how effective negative ads are with John Geer, the chair of political science at Vanderbilt University and the author of In Defense of Negativity, Attack Ads in Presidential Campaigns. We will discuss how much presidential debates can alter opinions created from months of negative advertising in a political climate where facts seem to matter less and less. Then finally, we will discuss perhaps the most challenging issue facing the planet that was not mentioned or brought up in last night's debate, global warming. New York Times reporter Andrew Revkin, the creator of the Times' .Earth blog, joins us to discuss what wasn't discussed and critique what was discussed: cheap gas, clean coal, more pipelines, more drilling, and more jobs. Joining us now is George Zornick, a Washington reporter at The Nation. Previously, he worked as a senior reporter blogger for thinkprogress.org and as a researcher for Michael Moore's Sicko and as an associate producer on The Media Project on the Independent Film Channel. He has an article at The Nation, Romney's Seven Biggest Debate Lies. Welcome to Background Briefing, George Zornick.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And if you are a fact checker who is following the extraordinary casual relationship that Mitt Romney has with the truth, you've been working overtime. I mean, from day one, going back to the Iowa caucuses, the first commercial he ever made put John McCain's words in Obama's mouth. And he is an amazing liar. And frankly, he's been getting away with it. So how would you rate last night's performance in terms of his overall career as a consummate liar?
Well, I'd say your characterization is pretty accurate, and so last night's performance was pretty consistent with his overall loose relationship with the truth. It was actually kind of a challenge looking at the transcript and trying to pick out only seven lies, because I wanted to get this piece up sometime, you know, within a day of the debate. But there were so many things he said that were inaccurate or not true. But what we tried to do was look at some of the big ones, some of the big questions, the big lies that he's telling on both his tax policy and how many jobs there are in this country and what the the energy record of the Obama administration is and so forth. But I mean, at almost every question, you could at least see, if not an outright lie, you know, at least a kind of gentle shading of the truth.
Well, the one lie that he's been pushing for some time is to pin Obama to the deaths of the U.S. diplomats and the SEALs in Libya. And Obama actually fought back and basically said, "You're wrong." And in fact, I did call it a terrorist act the day after in the Rose Garden. And Romney immediately refuted that. And then the president somewhat plaintively calls out to Candy Crowley, you know, because she corrected Romney, but in a very sort of soft and apologetic way, an unobtrusive way, shall I say. And Obama called upon Candy Crowley to repeat it louder, just to let him know that he was wrong. And he still sort of filibustered his way through. Do you think the public got that exchange, that this is, first of all, it's an absurd issue, but secondly, he really is reaching?
Yeah, I mean, it is an absurd and sort of complicated issue. And I think even if people were watching didn't understand what the mechanics of this particular situation in Libya were, they saw something. They saw clearly that Candy Crowley, you know, flagged Mitt Romney for a false statement. And I think it played into the narrative that the Obama campaign has been working to build, I think quite fairly for many months, that Mitt Romney is a guy who will just say anything to look good and get elected. That's a narrative that actually, Mitt Romney's opponents in the GOP primary campaign helped him start building. That was something that, if you watched those Republican debates back at the beginning of this year, which, God, seemed like years and years ago, but you know, you saw again and again people like Herman Cain and Newt Gingrich hitting Romney for just saying things that aren't true or that sound good to get him elected. And so I think, again, even if people didn't understand the mechanics of what exactly was happening in Libya, they, seeing Romney get flagged for an untruth by the moderator was something that will kind of stick in their heads.
So, as you know, obviously, it's I've made it clear that I consider Romney a fatuous salesman who is just a cynical liar of breathtaking hubris. However, I'm in an alternative universe to a lot of people. The swing voters, I was watching after that debate, they had panels of swing voters and undecided, and most of them were going to vote for Romney. So what does that say about the American people? Do you think that the truth matters anymore?
Increasingly less so, I think, as people are just finding their own news outlets to tell them that whatever they think is true is true. You only needed to turn on Fox News after the debate last night to see an example of that. And part of it is just kind of a natural thing that I wouldn't as much blame people for as just Romney taking advantage of very complicated issues. I mean, I think, you know, when he says that his tax plan isn't going to cut taxes on high-income earners, that's a very false thing to say, but it's something that has a very complicated answer to it. You have to look at the across-the-board rate cuts and then the deductions he wants to bring down and how, you know, do a lot of math about who would be affected most. And it's not something easy to rebut, and it's not something that I think the average, say, middle-class American who, you know, goes to work and is watching the debate while they're cooking dinner for the kids, I mean, they just might not have time to really think through that and examine all the information because it is very complicated. And so I think that's something that Romney is just capitalizing on, and he'll just say it because he knows that the truth is too complicated to really fact check.
Yeah, but you would think that there's a simple rebuttal to that canard that Rob Romney's quoting him. The top 5% of taxpayers will continue to pay 60% of the income tax the nation collects. Okay, I see what he's doing here, but the point is that the nation is collecting, what the nation is now collecting from the top 5% is much less than they should be collecting because of the Bush tax cuts, and Romney himself only paid 14%, and he hasn't even revealed most of his tax returns in any case, so he may have in other years paid much less. Isn't that the answer, that in fact, that doesn't even address the issue of tax fairness?
No, it doesn't at all. And one thing Obama might have said is, well, look, you're clearly cutting the rates for top earners, and you say that it won't affect them because you're going to make it up in deductions, but you won't say what those deductions are. So how are we supposed to believe you? And I mean, this is something I think the media has been in, you know, the media can help the average voter who might not have time to sort through this make sense of it. I mean, that's kind of what their job is. And I can only imagine if Obama came out with a plan that said, okay, I'm going to raise all these taxes, but don't worry, I'm going to make up for it with spending cuts, and I'll tell you what those spending cuts are later. I mean, the right wing would go nuts, perhaps justifiably, and the media, I imagine, would just be all over him. But there seems to be, for whatever reason, a kind of a hesitance to get into the weeds of Romney's tax policy and just say, look, what he's saying makes no sense. It only makes sense if you magically trust and believe every claim that he makes that he refuses to back up. So I think there is a failing there.
Again, I'm speaking with George Zornick, who's a Washington reporter at The Nation, previously worked as a senior research blogger for thinkprogress.org, and he has an article at The Nation, Romney's 7 Biggest Debate Lies. So we've talked about the lie, which he repeated several times, about how the top 5% taxpayers will continue to pay 60% of the income tax the nation collects. To obfuscate the fact that he's actually going to cut taxes on the rich who are already enjoying the Bush tax cuts. Let's start with some of the other lies here, and if you just don't mind giving us a brief rebuttal or a little reality here. This is Romney. We have fewer people working today than we had when the president took office.
Right. That's just plainly not true. It was true a couple months ago, or at least as far as we knew, according to the data, it was true. But when the Bureau of Labor Statistics released their estimates last month, that also revised upwards the number of jobs that have been created this year. Obama finally crossed that magic threshold where more jobs had been created in his term rather than had been lost. Now, even if he hadn't crossed that magic barrier, which makes for a good talking point and where Mitt Romney is totally wrong, it's still kind of misleading for Romney to talk about this. Number one, because there's actually been close to 1 million jobs created in the private sector while Obama's been in office, but they've been offset by deep losses in the public sector. And that's something that, you know, unambiguously, if you look at Mitt Romney's policies, he'd like to see continue. He'd like to see less public workers. Beyond that, you know, saying how many jobs were lost versus created during Obama's term is kind of a rough metric for the president, because when he came in, you know, as he's fond of saying, the country was losing 800,000 jobs a month. So in January and February, in particular of 2009, you had just like massive catastrophic job losses. And so to say that Obama should be expected to make up for those in order to have a net job gain is, you know, a pretty tall slope to ask him to walk. But nonetheless, he's walked it. Circling back to the original point, there actually have been, without any debate, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, more people working today than when Obama took office.
So let's move to the question of contraception. This is quoting Romney. I don't believe employers should tell someone whether they could have contraceptive care or not. Every woman in America should have access to contraceptives. That's what he said last night.
Right. I mean, this is one of those things where I think Romney has just given up even trying to shade the truth or say things that are very technically true, but, you know, in a larger sense, false. Because the way he worded it, there are ways to get around this question. But he, as you said, he explicitly said, I don't believe employers should tell someone whether they can have contraceptive care or not. That is exactly, if you read the text of the Blunt Amendment, that is what it is. That's what it does. It says, employers, if you don't want to provide contraceptive coverage to your employees, you don't have to. And had it passed, employers would have been able to deny contraceptive care to their employees. And that's and Mitt Romney unambiguously several times on TV in print supported the Blunt Amendment. So there he's just saying something that is absolutely, completely, fact-checkably false. And I wish Candy Crowley would have jumped in there as well.
And it's worth noting that Roy Blunt is Romney's liaison to the Senate.
Right, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt he made a big deal of supporting that policy. When there was, back in March, there was he kind of gave a statement where he sort of, it sounded like he wasn't supporting it, but you couldn't really tell. And they immediately rushed back out and made sure everyone across the country knew, no, we support this amendment. So for him, you know, 6 months later, 7 months later, to get on the stage and say that he doesn't believe that was pretty shocking.
And of course, he went on to talk about, as a matter of fact, oil production is down 14% this year on federal lands. I think that was one of the occasions where I think Obama basically shot that down, even though I think the overall argument that Romney was making, that we need more oil, gas, coal, you name it, we need North American energy independence, and that'll get the price down at the pump, which was the essential framing of the question. It seems that Romney was pandering on that one. And of course, you know, people basically want cheap gas, even though it's not ever going to happen again. Let's turn to George Zornick, Washington reporter for The Nation. He has an article at The Nation, Romney's Seven Biggest Debate Lies. Let's turn to the one about how he was looking for women in binders. It sounded almost like bondage, but in any case, he said, Romney, and so we took a concerted effort to get out and find women who had backgrounds that could be qualified to become members of our cabinet. I went to a number of women's groups and I said, can you help us find folks? And they brought us whole binders full of women. I was proud of the fact that in Massachusetts we had more women in senior leadership positions than any other state in America. And that was, of course, in answer to a question about the glass ceilings and pay equity for women. What was your give us the facts on that one?
So pretty much everything there is wrong. Number one, this binder did actually exist that everyone's joking about today. This binder, it did exist, but it was put together by a nonpartisan coalition of women's groups who said, look, we need to get more women into the government in Massachusetts. And they started this before he even took office. Beyond that, the guy who led that effort came out today and said, yeah, Mitt Romney never even met with us. Now, it is true that he did hire, he did appoint and hire some women while he was governor. But overall, there was a study done in Massachusetts right after he left that showed that high-level appointed positions in the state actually declined about 28% while he was governor. Beyond that, if you look at Romney's entire record, not just when he was governor of Massachusetts, there were absolutely no female partners at Bain Capital for 20 years throughout the entire 1980s and entire 1990s. Beyond all this just anecdotal stuff about, you know, the women that Romney hired or did not hire, as it were, I mean, in the end, that stuff doesn't even really matter anyway. What matters is the policies he would advocate as president. And there, again, Romney is a guy who opposes the Lilly Ledbetter Fay-Parr Act. He opposes the Paycheck Fairness Act. As soon as he got into office, of governor in Massachusetts. He scrapped the state's affirmative action program. So putting aside this debate about the binders and how many women did he hire, it doesn't really matter anyway. It's very clear that while Romney was trying to paint himself as, you know, a friend of women and someone who wants them to be hired and paid equitably, that's just not what he believes from a policy point of view.
And, Joe Zonik, let's turn to another one of the lies from last night. I want to make sure we keep our Pell Grant program growing.
Right. So this, again, was just kind of a crazy thing for him to say. Romney has never explicitly, as is true on many issues, has never explicitly said exactly what he would do to the Pell Grant program. But his website, if you look on it, has a lot of language that should make people nervous. He says he's going to refocus the federal spending on Pell Grants, and he's going to place the program on a responsible long-term path. Usually when you hear words like that, it's time to reach for your wallet. But he does have a guy in his ticket who has been very specific about what he wants to do to Pell Grants. That's Paul Ryan. And his budget would, without question, axe about 1 million Pell Grants a year from the federal rolls. So when he says he wants to keep the Pell Grant program growing, I'm not sure exactly what he means there.
Well, he's a big booster, Romney is, of the for-profit colleges, which are a complete racket, basically taking money from the federal treasury because of their lobbying, and it's a bipartisan disgrace in Washington that these for-profit college rackets have bought a bunch of lobbyists and Congress people on both sides, and they use federal dollars to advertise and get these kids deeply into student debt. Of course, they get the federal government money for next to nothing and charge it back to the kids at onerous rates. And these are mostly young minorities and a lot of vets. And they end up with worthless degrees and a lifetime of debt. It's an absolutely despicable and cruel process. And Romney has supported it, and he argued for it in the primaries on the stump. And furthermore, his own son, who he set up in a private equity company, is an investor in these for-profit college racketeers.
Yeah, absolutely. His record on higher education through and through, from the for-profit colleges to reducing the federal aid, is terrible. But again, going back to your original point, he doesn't care, and he's not aggressively fact-checked enough on that, because any low-information college student or someone who's approaching college who watched last night would have no idea about any of the things we've just been talking about. They would see Romney saying, I really think I like Pell Grants and I want to grow the program, and they'd think, okay, well, that's good. But it unfortunately bears no resemblance to reality.
Well, let's go to number 7 on your list of Romney's lies from the second presidential debate. We're going to bring that pipeline in from Canada. How in the world the president said no to that pipeline, I will never know. This is about bringing good jobs back to the middle class of America, and that's what I'm going to do.
Right. I mean, one of the biggest lies in Washington, and unfortunately it's been a somewhat bipartisan one, has been that this Keystone Pipeline project will create jobs. The Cornell Global Labor Institute and the State Department itself have both looked at it and said, well, you'll probably create somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 jobs. While the pipeline is being built, there'll be short-term construction jobs, and then they'll go away. So, well, you know, that's certainly good for the people who would be hired, but it's not, you know, 3,000 to 6,000 jobs is not anything that makes any kind of impact on the economy or the overall unemployment rate. And when you're looking at these very severe environmental consequences of building the pipeline, you have to look, is that really worth, you know, 3,000 jobs that last for 6 months? I think most people would say probably not. And an additional way that he's actually been dishonest there is that Obama, and I think he's received a lot of progressive grief over this, but Obama has actually green-lighted the southern port of the pipeline that goes through, you know, the southern United States. So a lot of those jobs that Romney is talking about, half of them or so have been created anyway and are, you know, in effect in some southern states at the moment. So he wasn't totally honest about that either.
Well, George Zonik, I thank you for the job you've done here. Of course, one wonders whether it's futile correcting these lies, given that the barn door's open and the horse is down the paddock. And what's that expression is, the lie goes round the world once before the truth gets a chance to put their pants on or tie their shoelaces or something.
exactly it. Yeah, and I think millions and millions and millions of people saw the debate last night, and would that it were that millions and millions of people read thenation.com every day, but I don't think it's so. So,
well, we all live in hope, and I thank you for joining us, George Zornick.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with George Zornick, who's a Washington reporter at The Nation, previously worked as a senior reporter blogger for thinkprogress.org, and as a researcher for Michael Moore's Sicko, and as an associate producer on The Media Project on the Independent Film Channel. He has an article at The Nation, Romney's Seven Biggest Debate Lies. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back and hear a defense of negative campaign ads.
No, I don't want to start a flame in your heart.